Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise hymn number 127, O Worship the King, 127. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to declare his love in the morning and his faithfulness every night. Let us pray. Almighty God, who is like you? Your strength and faithfulness are all around you. The heavens are yours and the earth. You formed the world and all that is in it. Your throne is founded on righteousness and justice. Happy are the people who have learned to acclaim you and walk in your light. Eternal God, in the brightness of day we discern the darkness within ourselves. We have not loved what you commanded nor desired what you promised. Our will has been unruly, and amid the passing changes of this world, our hearts have not been fixed on you, where true joys are to be found. Almighty and merciful God, grant us pardon and remission of all our sins. time for amendment of life, and the grace and comfort of the Holy Spirit, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 139, Praise the Lord, you heavens adore him. 139. We read God's word in the New Testament, the first letter to Timothy, chapter 1, at verse 12. 1 Timothy, chapter 1, at verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his unlimited patience as an example for those who would believe on him and receive eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. And in Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, at verse 13. Mark chapter 2, verse 13. Once again, Jesus went out beside the lake. A large crowd came to him, and he began to teach them. As he walked along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. Follow me, Jesus told him. And Levi got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were eating with him and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the teachers of the law, who were Pharisees, saw him eating with the sinners and tax collectors, they asked his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said to them, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 172, Sing for God's Glory, 172. Mark's Gospel, chapter 2, at verse 17, "I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." This is a passage which shows us Jesus in conflict with the scribes and Pharisees. That's something which occurs frequently in the Gospels. The scribes and Pharisees were the professional religious people of the day. What brought them into conflict with Jesus was not only their attitude to the law, but their attitude to people who did not keep the law as they did. Sinners, they called them. What are sinners, we may ask? Well, aren't we all sinners? Don't we all fall short of the kind of people we ought to be, the kind of people God wants us to be? Things which ought not to be in our life somehow get in there and get the better of us. Our life becomes a constant series of corrections. That's why we need God. That's why we need the church. Worship in the church is one of the ways in which we get our life put to rights again. So we know what it is to be sinners. But in the time of Jesus' earthly life, the professional religious people of the day regarded as sinners all those who did not keep strictly to the letter of the law. And the law was a detailed and complicated matter. From the original Ten Commandments, the law had grown into a compendium of 613 regulations, all to do with the petty detail of human behavior. Any breach of the law in any particular was regarded as a sin. So there could be a man, let's say, who didn't wash his hands strictly according to the accepted procedure. Because he failed in this particular, he would be a sinner. Another man might be a murderer or a thief or an adulterer, and he likewise was regarded as a sinner. No difference. Sinners, all of them. And the scribes and Pharisees would not have anything to do with them. They would not visit them. They would not accept a visit from them. They would not worship with them. They would not eat with them. They would not talk with them. If they could avoid it, they would not even be in the company or in the presence of those whom they regarded as sinners, no matter what form the sin might have taken. So they challenged Jesus when they saw that he ate in the company of such people. And it was in answer to this challenge that Jesus said, "People who are in good health don't need a doctor. It's people who are ill who need him." And that illustrated why Jesus was not coming to call righteous people. He was there to call sinners. The implication was that if there were any righteous people, they didn't need the help of Jesus. If there were any righteous people. The scribes and Pharisees thought themselves to be righteous because they knew the 613 regulations built on top of the original Ten Commandments, and they observed those regulations faithfully. But their attitude to other people who did not aspire to such a pinnacle of correctness, was that a righteous attitude? Oh, it's not surprising that Jesus clashed with the scribes and Pharisees, the religious authorities of the day. Their affected righteousness, their bloated self-esteem, their way of looking down on those whom they regarded as sinners, all that kind of thing, that was bound to bring them into conflict with Jesus. And as we think of the scribes and Pharisees in that connection, we ought to be reminded of the story elsewhere in the Gospel in which Jesus spoke of the Pharisee and the publican in the synagogue. The Pharisee stood and prayed, thanking God that he was not like that publican. And the Sunday school teacher, reading that story with her class, encouraged them to thank God that they were not like that Pharisee. And if we are not careful, we may find ourselves thanking God that we're not as misguided as that Sunday school teacher. It is an insidious thing, sin, especially the sin of selfish pride, thinking we're better than others in some way, or even thinking there's something to be said in our favor because we're not as bad as others. It's all very well being able to say, we don't murder, we don't defraud the income tax system, we don't behead hostages, we don't need to fear the prospect of spending the rest of our life in prison because we've become pedophiles or sexual predators. We don't do any of those things which make headlines in the newspapers. Maybe not, but what is our life like? It's not the kind of life which makes the headlines for those reasons, but how does it measure up when placed alongside the life of the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the life which is set as our example. That's the ideal towards which we have to strive all through our life. So where is the place for pride in not being as bad as others. An insidious thing indeed. Sin in that form sneaks its way into our life, into our thinking, into our attitudes. We need the constant cleansing and re-establishing which only the Lord can provide. We need to think carefully about what Jesus said, this saying about having come not to call the righteous but sinners. At a first glance, it may seem that Jesus has no time for good people. But we'll have to remember he's speaking in answer to the scribes and Pharisees, the people who prided themselves on how good they were and how scrupulously they observed every single instruction of the law. What Jesus is saying is that people like that, people who think they're so good that they don't need anything done for them, they've made it impossible for themselves to gain anything from meeting with Jesus at all. It's the people who know that they fall short of what they ought to be. Those are the people whom Jesus can help. No doubt he would help the others too, if they would only receive his help, if they would first of all acknowledge their need of his help. But there are people, there were people in the days of his earthly life, and there are still people now, people who, as it were, fence themselves in with their self-righteousness. And as we've seen, sin, especially sin in this form, is a very insidious thing. Before we know it, it can worm its way into our life. The sin of thinking, we're all right, we don't need any help, we're better people than some we could point to, we're not nearly as bad as some people we know or hear about. So what is the answer to all this? How do we live so that we're getting it right? Well, for one thing, it concerns our awareness of other people. We need to be aware of other people, not so as to congratulate ourselves that we're not as bad as they are, but rather to remind ourselves that the people we meet and come in contact with in the ordinary course of daily life, they're people like ourselves in many ways. They're people with thoughts and concerns, people with as much right to be here as we have, people who need help to keep their life going along the right lines, just like ourselves. And the help which we need to keep us aware of those things, that help comes from the Lord. People may say, no doubt some people would say, that the church does nothing for them, worship does nothing for them, and their life is too busy with many important and necessary things, too busy to make any room for God in it. But the truth is that those are the basic fundamental ways of keeping our life right, guarding against the most insidious sins. Public worship in the church Sunday by Sunday. Maybe there is a sameness about it. Maybe those responsible for the conduct of it fall a good bit short of the ideal. And certainly worship in the church is a strange sort of activity compared with anything else that human beings might do. Nevertheless, the business of joining with fellow Christians in worship does something for us which nothing else can quite do. It's a means whereby the grace of God can reach into our life. And although it's impossible for us to define the grace of God, it is the one thing which makes the difference to human life, which above all needs to be made, lifts human life from the merely mundane and gives it an eternal quality. Likewise, in our daily walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, keeping in close contact with him, we are helped to stay on the right path. Jesus comes to us just as he came to people in the days of his earthly life. He comes to help, to those who need help, and we all need help if we're honest. So let us accept his help, Sunday by Sunday, and day by day, so that we may be playing our part in his work of making the world a better and a healthier place for all who live in it. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honor and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Hymn 192, All My Hope on God is Founded, 192.
Thank you.
Let us pray. Almighty God, we have heard your word. Grant that it may take root in our hearts and bring forth fruit to your glory. Accept our gifts of our material resources and let them be used in your service. Let your Spirit so pervade our lives that all we think and say and do may be an offering to you, our God. Lord, whose hand has controlled the whole of life from its earliest beginnings, we thank you for the many ways in which you bless us day by day. We thank you for life itself, with all its interest and all its challenge, for food to sustain us, for home and work, for the fellowship of friends, and the opportunity to enjoy the beauty of your world and the innocent pleasures which life affords. We thank you, Lord, for the deeper things of life, the goodness and mercy which have followed us all our days, keeping us safe in danger, raising us up when we have fallen, strengthening us in times of testing, guiding us in moments of decision. We thank you that all your creatures are under your care. Above all, we thank you for the supreme gift of Jesus Christ, our Lord, and all that he has done and continues to do for us, for the Holy Spirit, the giver of strength, for the church, which is our home, for the lives of those who have helped to show us the way, and for the hope of the life beyond. We pray for the church, that it may be continually renewed and enabled to be a channel of your love and an instrument of your will in the world. We pray for our Queen and the members of the royal house. Grant your grace and guidance to those in positions of authority, that they may spend their efforts for the welfare of the people, for the honor of our land, and for the glory of your name. Take our dear ones into your keeping. We pray for those separated from us by distance, that by drawing near to you we may be drawn nearer to one another. We commend to your care those who are ill and those whose work is the healing and tending of the sick, that all may be strengthened by the knowledge of your continued presence, and that the healing work of Jesus may continue. Be with those in any kind of need, Lord. There are some known to us whose names we hold before you. There are others we know not. Be with them all, supplying their need and bringing them to a surer knowledge of your love and goodness. Lord God, your Son, Jesus Christ, has shown us that life is far deeper than that which is bordered by physical birth and death. Sow within our hearts the seeds of that eternal life, and keep us in union with those whose physical life is past and those yet to come, that we may in due course receive the blessing, "Well done, good and faithful servants. Come and share your master's delight." Grant this, Father, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise is hymn 459, "Crown Him with Many Crowns," 459. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, this day and forevermore.